are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Wednesday, June the 12th. And who are these guys? The draft picks coming to Auburn Hills over these last few weeks. This is your boy Matt Shook, a sports writer here in Detroit City covering the NBA for the Associated Press and the Detroit News. Pistons fan, follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Today we're going to go around the league a little bit with some news, maybe a little bit angsty about my thoughts on the Pistons offseason so far as we look around the league and maybe get a little jealous about some of these teams. We're also going to talk about, speaking of some angsty thoughts I have, the workouts for the draft that the Pistons have been having. Another underwhelming list of people coming in on Wednesday after Monday's underwhelming list. But we also got some listener voicemails that I appreciate that we'll respond to later on as well. Some Warriors talk, some trade talk as well. So good show today. And I got a good guest lined up for tomorrow's show as well that I'm excited to talk to here in a little while this afternoon. But give me a follow on Twitter, by the way, at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons Matt Shook. But hey, exciting stuff from the network today. The Locked On NBA mock draft is dropping today, or has dropped already on Wednesday, with picks 1 through 6. The local experts, that's me, I'm one of those, in every draft room around the NBA, trades, expert player breakdowns from SI.com's Jeremy Wu, a name to remember here on the next day or so on the Locked On Pistons podcast. Plus, Josh Lloyd down in Australia gives us the fantasy breakdown from the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Desk. It is all on Locked On NBA. Check that out. The mock draft, picks 1 through 6. My pick will be taken at number 15 on Friday's show. So obviously you'll have a bunch more picks coming from 7 to 12, I believe, maybe 13, not really sure. And then pick 15 coming on Friday's show. So you'll see who I go with for the Pistons there. But NBA Finals, Game 6, back in Oakland on Thursday, a 9 p.m. start there. The early line was Golden State favored by 3. That's now down to 2.5. We'll talk about more about this game and the series on tomorrow's show, which should get out around midday. Going to bust that one out today and tonight after I do this show. But the big news in the NBA today, as it is every day, it's something different, right? Anthony Davis came out with a story on Sports Illustrated with Rich Paul on the print edition cover of Sports Illustrated, which is still a thing, by the way. The super agent from Clutch is profiled. A couple of nuggets that came out of there. He says a quote saying that a deal to Boston will be for 1 year. So kind of persuading Boston to maybe not go ahead and put a package together to New Orleans for that. Just the wins seem to imply that Davis will be in L.A. with the Lakers. And Rich Paul has some quotes talking about how good it would be for him to be in L.A. in the land of Wilt and Kareem and Shaq and all the big men, and that LeBron being there is just a cherry on top of the sundae at this point. After all this, the reaction from Locked On Lakers' Anthony Irwin on Twitter, he says that he believes that Davis will be a Laker by this weekend. He curbs that a bit by saying it's a hunch, obviously, but also around the league, some coaching news. The Memphis Grizzlies have hired a new coach in Taylor Jenkins from the Milwaukee Bucks, from the Mike Budenholzer tree. Quinn Snyder's another guy that came from the Bud tree as well. Just keep an eye on where former Piston Darvin Ham ends up, if this is a musical chairs situation for him. He's on the Bucks staff and assistant coach there. Maybe he becomes the lead assistant in Milwaukee, or perhaps moves on with Taylor to Memphis, or maybe there's a better opportunity for Darvin somewhere else. We will see there. But the bigger news, that was from late Tuesday. The bigger news was Wednesday, as John Beilein, former Michigan coach with the Cleveland Cavaliers, has hired Cal women's basketball head coach Lindsey Gottlieb to be an assistant coach in Cleveland. He's also got J.B. Bickerstaff from Memphis last year, the head coach there, as an experienced NBA guy on John Beilein's staff too. So hand clap or a tip of the hat or whatever you want to say to John Beilein, as I trip over my words a little bit here, about Lindsey Gottlieb, a little bit of diversity on the staff of the Cavs, joining Becky Hammon, obviously, in San Antonio, Nancy Lieberman, former Shock coach, has spent time with the Sacramento Kings as well. The Pistons, let's just kind of bring this back locally. A franchise going nowhere, a team going nowhere, a front office that seemingly does nothing, all day based on what they've done basically in the past year in any kind of major way. Sitting it out, we're going to wait until these contracts come off the books in 2020 and then make a few free agent signings to extend the timeline of how we can evaluate them fully over a couple years or maybe a year after that. So, you know, you buy at least 3 years of job security when you get hired, and probably more like 4 years. Collect checks for all those years, and then before you're even able to be fully evaluated by any moves you make, we're 4 years in, and you've already made a fortune, probably $1 million by that point. So congratulations to them. Again, with the females, women on the coaching staffs, Pistons sitting this one out, of course. The Pistons had a chance to remake the entire front office and coaching staff last summer, not a single woman involved in the process, just a bunch of boring retreads. Sidney Lowe, you know, all these guys that have been coaches around the league and haven't been elevated to head coach, except for Sidney Lowe at North Carolina State for a minute and in the NBA with some forgettable head coaching stints there. Just some retreads to follow along with Dwayne Casey, who we've talked about in positive terms, has done a good job, but a retread himself, who's been a few different stops as an NBA head coach throughout the past few decades. You know, a front office that's just a bunch of guys that have been around. Ed Stefanski's ran teams before. Malik Rose has been around a little bit, but nothing, you know, hasn't been a contributor to at a high level to teams that a lot of success, G League situations and stuff. Sachin Gupta was a nice little innovative hire that the Pistons had while he leaves for Minnesota without doing a single thing for this franchise. If you haven't told by my tone, maybe it's today, maybe it's a mood, I don't know what it is, but getting a little bit irritated with this front office, getting as we all are, just irritated with this franchise over the past decade, but it's just I just got a negative taste in my mouth about some of the stuff around the league. Andre Drummond's doing bad rap videos after being no-showed in the playoffs, emasculated in game 3 by not one of the best centers in the league, and Brooke Lopez. Blake Griffin's trolling fans with his joke about with the PMT guys, who are kind of funny, and Blake, innocent thing. I'm not ripping too much on Blake. I'm just trying to make a list here of the things that I'm kind of stewing on a little bit. The PMT guys are kind of funny, but mostly just, you know, teenagers. I don't like Barstool, as you might guess, with my old man persona. But those guys aren't as bad as most of the Barstool guys, but and full disclosure, I used to listen to them sometimes. You know, just not really my cup of tea at the end of the day. And look, summer-wise, in terms of the evaluation of this summer as a whole, nothing has really happened for the Pistons yet. I have a feeling that we're in for a boring summer. But that being said, maybe we could feel really good about this summer come, you know, the first day of training camp or whatever. And maybe we'll say that, you know, Ed Stefanski really pulled some rabbits out of his hat, and we're going to be really excited about this team and this franchise. But I'll just say for now that this summer has not got off to a resounding start for the Detroit Pistons. And moving on with that, along those same lines, in some quasi-draft news, as it were, the ESPN mock draft special on ESPN2 on Tuesday night had the Pistons, and I kind of consider ESPN to be the authority on the draft, and not just not because we respect their coverage so much, but because Jonathan Givney, who was with DraftExpress.com, he was hired over by them a lot like Adrian Wojnarowski was hired over from Yahoo, and he's kind of the authority, kind of the most connected guy, and of course being with ESPN gives you a lot of those connections too, so kind of that double-edged sword there. It's really probably the top place to evaluate where guys are going, how the winds of change and things are blowing in terms of the NBA draft. That's probably where you should start your research. So given that, the Pistons in that mock draft special on ESPN, and this is Mike Schmitz and Bobby Marks that did these picks, they had Romeo Langford going number 15 to the Detroit Pistons. And also on Monday's latest mock draft from Jonathan Givney, the aforementioned of formerly of Draft Express, now with ESPN.com on the Insider account, he also has Langford going 15 to the Pistons. We've talked about Langford on this podcast. We will do it a little bit more before a week from Thursday, but that's not what I'm looking for. That's for sure. A big disappointment in his 1 year at Indiana. Certainly a lot of talent, certainly a lot of shot-making and basket-making potential for the Detroit Pistons, but just not an inspiring effort from him in Indiana in year one. So kind of a bummer episode so far, and we'll continue with a little bit of a bummer theme as we're going to talk about the draft workouts that the Pistons have been having. Who are these guys, and why are they in Auburn Hills? thinking about becoming Pistons. But Himalaya is the podcasting app that's free and super easy to use. Has every single podcast you love and are searching for. You can like and comment. Listeners can give thumbs up on their favorite shows and favorite episodes and comment on episodes as well. And when you get in your car, go ahead and tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Pistons.
Yes, sir!
We got some listener voicemails a little bit later on, but thanks to Untuckit for sponsoring Locked On Pistons. If you're looking for a great Father's Day idea, their shirts are specifically designed to look great untucked and feel comfortable at work or on the weekend. No tucking or tailoring required. Go to untuckit.com, promo code NBA to get 20% off there. But another thing that's kind of stuck in my craw today as I record this, the Pistons draft workouts. They continued today on Wednesday with Brian Bowen of Saginaw at the Pistons facility in Auburn Hills working out, along with Jalen Adams of UConn, Robert Franks of Washington State, Khalil Iverson of Wisconsin, Jarrell Brantley of Charleston, and Terrence Mann of Florida State. So we've got the 89th player, according to the ESPN Top 100, that's Robert Franks, the 89th player on that list, Brian Bowen, number 73, and then Terrence Mann, who is 68 on that list. So keep in mind the Pistons draft number 15 and 45. So guys that would be complete reaches are the three best players in that group, and then the three other players are guys that are not in the top 100, guys that really aren't being considered as draft picks in this draft. Now, obviously, you got to look at some undrafted free agents that possibly you want to bring in to the fold for training camp, guys that might be Grand Rapids Drive contributors throughout the year. So the 15 and 45 are not the most important thing, and you want to have as much of these guys on your ledger, as much intel as you could possibly want on these guys going forward in case maybe some of them play over in Europe or play in the G League and put up some numbers, and then down the line, whether it's a year, a couple years, maybe even several years from now, you think about maybe wanting to acquire them and just start get the intel. I get it. You're going to bring in as many guys as possible, but I would just like the percentages of players that might be drafted or draftable to be a little bit higher in terms of some of the guys that they're bringing in. I went through the numbers. I've got some interesting stuff to share on it, especially as it pertains to a really relevant comparison of another team that we could talk about here in the NBA. But this group of six came after even a more obscure mix of guys that were brought in on Monday. O'Shea Brissett of Syracuse, the 79th player on the ESPN list, was the one of these six guys who was the only mildly intriguing possible second-round prospect that was even bring in after that. Other than that, you got Barry Brown of Kansas State, Digui Diawara of France, Nikola Miskovic, who loved his time working out and practicing in Auburn Hills so much on Monday that he dropped out of the draft a few hours later at the deadline of when the non-college players needed to drop off if they were going to. So he's a 2020 possible draft pick. So getting some intel early on him a week or so before this year's draft. Zach Johnson of Omaha, not the same guy who won the Masters in the 90s or later than that maybe. Not the same guy, apparently, as far as I know. And Josh Perkins of Gonzaga, the elusive third-best Gonzaga player in this draft, who's not a draftable player either. They had the one good day on Friday where you brought in some real prospects in Nikhil Alexander-Walker of Virginia Tech, Talon Horton-Tucker of Iowa State, and Nasir Little of North Carolina. Guys that fit the mold of the players you might want at 15. But as far as first-round possible prospects, that's about it that they've brought in, other than the big men that they brought in early in the process. Just not a good group of players that are coming in. So is there a lack of juice in the front office? Can you not even get players to come up to Michigan to work out for you this summer? I mean, what's going on here? They have had, according to the publicly available list of players that they've sent out and the media has written about and all that stuff, since the process has started in terms of workouts in the Auburn Hills practice facility, 54 players have come in to that group. Again, keep in mind the Pistons pick at 15 and 45. Of those 54 players, only 24 of them are ranked in the top 100, according to ESPN.com. So you've got 30 guys that have come in that are not in the top 100. There are 60 draft picks. So of these top 100, 40 of them probably aren't going to get drafted. Now, there could be flyers that are not on the CSPN.com list. But again, this is basically the most connected outlet in terms of the draft intel and where guys are going and the risers and fallers and all that kind of stuff. Now, as far as the 24 guys that have come in, only 7 of the players that the Pistons have brought in for workouts are rated by ESPN.com as rated at 45 or above. So the only two picks Pistons have are 15 and 45. So 45 and above, only 7 of the 54 players that come in are rated at that spot, 45 and above. And only one of them, one player that's been brought in, has been rated at ESPN.com at 15 or above. Not even that good. 21 or above. There's only one player in the top 21 on ESPN.com's list who has visited Detroit so far. Now, are they backloading all of the good players? Are they all coming in later? It's certainly possible, but there are guys that are linked to the Pistons and a lot of mock drafts that, as far as we can tell, have no plans of coming up to Auburn Hills to work out. Does that mean you can't draft a guy if you don't work him out individually at your facility? Absolutely not. We know that Stan Van Gundy drafted Henry Ellenson without working him out and not really being involved in the Henry Ellenson process, and then he slid to him, the Pistons, there in this draft, and obviously we know how that turned out. He's basically going to be out of the NBA, possibly this year going forward. So, Nasir Little, the number 10 player on ESPN.com, the only guy that's came to the facility to work out for the Pistons. Now, does any of this matter? Is this normal? How does this work as far as some of these guys? Well, let me bring up the case of the Orlando Magic. The Orlando Magic have two picks in the draft, number 16 and number 46. Both of those picks, one slot behind the Detroit Pistons. So in all intents and purposes, they are basically in the exact same spot as the Pistons. They should get the same level of players to come work out for them. They're all looking at the same mix of players. Now, Orlando, they have also brought in Nickeil Alexander-Walker in terms of a high-ranked prospect that the Pistons might be looking at number 15. But other players that they've brought in include Brandon Clark, Keldon Johnson, Tyler Hero, Cameron Johnson, Grant Williams, all guys that are first-round prospects, all guys the Pistons and Magic will be considering at 15 or 16. There's a report, Kevin Porter Jr. of USC has said that he is going to Orlando on June 15th, so that will be coming up on, Saturday as well. He's listed 5 teams that he'll visit when he was in Charlotte, and as of now, Detroit was not one of them. So add another player to the list of Brandon Clark, Keldon Johnson, Tyler Hero, Cameron Johnson, Grant Williams, and now Kevin Porter Jr., Porter being a guy who will reportedly go to Orlando on June 15th and not have any plans of going to the Pistons. So what's going on? Like, where's the due diligence? Where's the ability to bring these guys in, to get them used to Detroit, to get them to have some positive feelings about being around here? I mean, we know that the summertime in Michigan's a lot better time to be here than it would be during the season in the wintertime. But, man, as this goes on, as this offseason goes on, that, again, probably going to be a boring one, not a lot of huge expectations in terms of what we expect in terms of splashes that the Pistons need to do. They need to hit all these free agents they bring in. They need to hit these draft picks. This is probably the only legitimate way that this front office is going to make any splash with this team. Now, we've advocated for trades on this show. We've advocated for picking a direction. Are we rebuilding? Are we trying to win right now? I would rather take one of those two roads than the current road that we have right now. But that doesn't really preserve the front office's jobs for as long as possible. It seems like that's what we're trying to do. And this front office doesn't appear to have enough juice to bring in guys that we'd really want to see in. If you're the Pistons, you want to look at the Brandon Clarks, the Keldon Johnson, Tyler Hero, Cameron Johnson, Grant Williams. Orlando had the luxury of having Tyler Hero and Keldon Johnson in on the same day. And actually, I think it was Tyler Hero and Nickeil Alexander-Walker. Those guys came to Orlando on the same day. They worked them out. They put them together through drills, one-on-one type of stuff. They were able to look at them at the same day. Not the case for the Pistons, who had Alexander-Walker in with Horton Tucker, who's not really a guy that you're probably going to consider at 15. So again, just not good so far from a Pistons perspective as these draft workouts go on. We'll see what kind of names come in over these next few days. But like we've been saying, The Himalaya podcasting app is really where you need to be going. It's free. It's super easy to use. Has every single podcast you love and are searching for. Find and download Himalaya on the App Store or Google Play Store. And don't forget to follow Locked On Pistons once you're there. Up next, we've got some voicemails from you listeners. That's next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day.
Hey, Matt, this is Andy from Ann Arbor, and I wanted to call with a bit of a response to your podcast talking about the Warriors and KD and the dynasty and everything like that. I agree with you that the drama level for this finals has been ratcheted up and is higher than it's been in years past. I think a lot of that is due to the fact that the Raptors are indeed challenging and may eventually topple what's been a dynasty. One thing to keep in mind, though, is that it's only really a dynasty because KD went there. Something that, you know, I don't fault him for at all. He wanted to win, and he wanted a ring, and he went to the place that he thought that he could do that. And in doing so, created an all-time great team, a team that was already great, but I mean, I think we've seen now that the Warriors needed to add another piece in order to maintain their place at the top of the NBA hierarchy. The league every year just gets better and better and better. So having KD go there is what helped create that dynasty. That dynasty is what led to the drama that we're all enjoying right now. So just wanted to point that out. I know that you're not a big KD fan, but I think that he deserves a little bit of credit for helping to create an atmosphere that's creating the drama that we're all enjoying today.
Andy from Ann Arbor, thanks so much for the call. If you want your opinion heard on the Google Voice line, please do call us at 810-666-1546. Again, that's 810-666-1546. And yeah, you know, KD going to the Warriors made them a dynasty. Obviously, agree with that. It went from a great team to an unbeatable team these last few years. And there is something to be said for dynasty, as Andy talks about. Makes it more fun when someone is trying to knock them off the mountaintop. So agree with him there. I just thought that it was a soft way of Kevin Durant to get to the titles. Everyone agreed with me when it happened. On July 4th, it was a unanimous consensus opinion that he was making the easy way out there. And when the decision came out in 2016, everyone agreed with that. But since then, everyone's just kind of shifted, and he's grown into a sympathetic figure at times for some people. And obviously, he along the way, he's grown his game, gotten better, become more of a killer in playoff times and all that kind of stuff too. But I've just never moved off that corner. I've never moved on and said, okay, well, now it was the right move, or maybe now it will help his legacy that he stacks up some titles in Golden State. All that said, KD is great. I'm not like Wojo, Bob Winowski with the Detroit News on Twitter, kind of saying he's overrated over and over again. I'm not saying that. And I also do admire the courage and conviction of going out and playing Monday, but obviously not a smart move in retrospect. The courage and conviction is a positive trait that he had, but maybe he should have. And good for him. You know, he can do whatever he wants, and if he wants to risk his injury, of course. We've always believed that guys can do whatever they want, but we can also criticize them and talk about their legacies in sometimes negative ways or positive ways if it's warranted. But, obviously he's kind of stuck right now in a bad situation. Hopefully the backlash of people that were questioning the calf injury didn't go into his mindset of deciding whether to play. Hopefully it was just a medical decision and a basketball desire and what he wanted to do, as opposed to proving people wrong, because we have seen over time the KD a little bit too worried about what people think out there. And I can have my opinion, and KD can do whatever he wants, and we can all kind of go on with our lives. But that's just kind of where we all stand on it right now. For the next call, let's go to Sterling Heights. Brandon, hit it for us.
Hey, Matt. Brandon Castoff from Sterling Heights. Just stumbled upon a thought. Trade rumors about Anthony Davis are starting to pick up again, and the latest rumor that I heard is that the Pelicans are most likely going to be looking at multi-team trade deals, which triggered my mind for the Pistons and them trying to acquire from the Pelicans Jeff Teague, Drew Holiday, I feel like we'd be a good candidate because, one, we want to upgrade our point guard position, and, two, we have the 15th pick this year, which is not that good, clearly. You know, you've indicated in your show multiple times since the season has ended. Also, we have expiring contracts, John Luehr, Langston Galloway, and Reggie Jackson. So I think that we would be a good trade partner in a multi-team deal with the Pelicans and whoever else is going to be inquiring for Anthony Davis. Let me know your thoughts on that.
Brandon, thanks for the call. I hear what you're saying about Drew Holiday. The indications that I've heard about the Anthony Davis trade rumors, I mean, Woj just tweeted that he's talking to the David Griffin's talking to the Celtics and the Lakers, a bunch of stuff we already knew about that at this point. But any minute, you know, over these next few days, you can this Anthony Davis stuff might be going down. I haven't heard indications that that multi-team deal would include Drew Holiday as well. Obviously, that would be a much bigger move and something that might require even more days down the line to happen. I feel like Drew Holiday, even if, you know, Anthony Davis, assuming he's moved, and I think he will be, I think Drew Holiday has a good chance of staying in New Orleans. It's a good asset. He's got 3 years left on his deal, about $26 million per year, which is okay for a guy who's a fringe all-star, a guy who's liked around the league, you know, shown he can get it done in the playoffs. A year ago, one of the best defensive guards that we've seen in many years. So Drew Holiday is a very good player, and sometimes and Brandon's talking about the assets for the Pistons that they have, number 15 pick in the draft, as Brandon mentioned, not great. We'll hear from our guest Jeremy Wu of Sports Illustrated tomorrow in an interview that I've already recorded about, you know, 15 is kind of a crapshoot when you're talking about basically 11 to 25. I mean, it's just kind of flavor of the week. It's what you like. Those picks don't have a whole lot of value on the open market as much as they might in some other years. That said, the expiring contracts, moving on to that, Luehr, Jackson, and Galloway, when you're a year out and as short as NBA contracts are these days, I don't think the expiring contract hits its value until closer to the trade deadline when teams are thinking more about the season ahead, 2020 and 2021. Unfortunately for the Pistons, so first of all, that there's that timing, that these contracts, the fact that they're expiring next summer, aren't as valuable on the market as they might be come trade deadline. The second point working against that is this 2020 free agent class is one of the worst in many years because it's the guys that are coming up from that 2016 summer. Bobby Marks of ESPN has talked about how it's one of the worst classes out there. This is not like this year's free agency with Kawhi Leonard out there and all the names that are being bandied about right now. Now, obviously, there's still a value in expiring contracts and teams that want to make trades, teams that want to clear the books so they can kind of rejigger the franchise going forward. But it, at this point, I don't think expiring contracts in a first-round pick are nearly enough for a guy like Drew Holiday. Now, we're talking about multi-team trades. Really, the rule of thumb is that even though it's more complicated and it's more tough for us to predict what those trades are going to be, you still got to give up the same kind of value that you're going to get, whether, you know, who goes to what team on those multi-team deals is another question. But you got to give up a lot to get a lot, and Drew Holiday is a lot. And the expiring deals of all those guys, and you could even throw like a Bruce Brown as a topper into that kind of deal, and it wouldn't move the needle that much. That doesn't really equal up to a Drew Holiday at this point. Now, February, if you get a Drew Holiday type who had a really disappointing year or is injured at the time or something like that, maybe you can find a bargain come trade deadline. Also, as those expiring contracts continue to grow in value, or maybe you draft a young guy that could be a centerpiece of a deal if they make the right pick at 15, or if you look ahead to trading maybe next year's first-round draft pick if that's in that same kind of teen range there going forward. But Brandon, thanks for the call. That's my thoughts on that. Like I said, we got Jeremy Wu of Sports Illustrated tomorrow, one of my favorite draft analysts out there. So looking forward to sharing that with you guys. And thanks for listening to the Locked On Pistons podcast. We'll be back tomorrow, midday, with another episode.